This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
If you own territory, a vast swath of land, and you're doing nothing to it.
But he doesn't know that he's lying. I mean, I can't imagine anybody being that ignorant or that stupid for that matter.
And someone comes and squats on it and spends a lot of time improving it.
Your Muslim listeners, they know of Al-Aqsa. Al-Aqsa was built about 1,500 years ago. Who built it?
At some point, they actually develop a valid legal claim to the property itself.
I do not understand this infatuation with a man who has been indicted for corruption and is a known war criminal.
I'm saying something else, though. I'm saying that they held the land for 2,000 years, were kicked out.
Because these people want to see Al-Aqsa destroyed. They want to see the Dome of the Rock destroyed, and they want to build something else there instead.
They took over my apartment, okay, a long time ago.
They stole it. They stole, like I said, the produce from the fields. They stole money in the banks. There were banks. People had money in the banks.
You had these Orthodox Jews walking the streets.
And this rabbi said, the first thing I would do is I would ask the Palestinians to come back. And the student says, why? What are you talking about? They're terrorists. They want to kill us. And the rabbi, his name is Rabbi Amram Blau. And the rabbi said, who told you that? Who told you that the Arabs were going to kill us? We had great relations with the Muslims and the Arabs back in the day. When Palestine is free, people like him are going to be ashamed that they did this. He's going to be embarrassed that he did this.
Let me introduce you to my faith. We have one God whose name's Allah. And his final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is our religion, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. How you guys doing? Welcome to the Deen Show. And my next guest, Miko Pilit, is an Israeli-American activist, author, and karate instructor. He is the author of the book General Son, A Journey of an Israeli in Palestine and Injustice. His grandfather was one of the original signers of the Declaration of Independence. His father was the general for an Israeli army. He is one of the best qualified individuals to talk about this topic. And in this case, to give an official response to the recent interview that Jordan Peterson had with PM-elect Benjamin Milikowski, or is it AKA Netanyahu? And after this interview of ours, if Jordan Peterson is really a man out for any truth, you'll see this man, my next guest, Miko Pilit, on his show with your petition and voice. Let's bring out Miko Pilit. Miko, how are you doing?
Good to be with you again, my friend.
I want to thank you for taking this interview on such short notice. I know you're very busy, and I appreciate that. Let's get right into it. I want to start off with your response to the recent interview.
If you own territory, a vast swath of land, and you're doing nothing to it, and someone comes and squats on it and spends a lot of time improving it, at some point they actually develop a valid legal claim to the property itself. And so there seems to be something intrinsic to our notion of valid ownership that if you're going to occupy a territory, you actually have to do something with it that's productive. And so that's at least part of the claim you're making at the moment to buttress the notion that the Jewish people have a valid claim to the present territory. There were a lot of movement back and forth, but the Jews have actually taken the land and made something of it.
Well, I'm saying something else, though. I'm saying that they held the land for 2,000 years, were kicked out. The Arabs came and conquered it and immediately lost it to others and did nothing with it. The others did nothing with it. So it was basically, they took over my apartment, okay, a long time ago. The guys who took over, who basically kicked me out, were kicked out themselves. The apartment was left barren. And many decades, in this case, centuries later, I come back to this barren mess, okay, this ruin, and I build it up back. And I not only improve it, I not only make my ownership based on improvement, but that nobody else did anything with it. There was no someone else. There practically were no tenants there. That's my argument.
You got a chance to listen and watch the interview, Miko Pilit?
Yeah, you know, I don't understand this infatuation that Americans have with Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, he was on Peterson's show. He was on Bill Maher's show. He was on the networks recently talking about all kinds of things, including Russia. He was on Joe Osteen's show. He's got this mega church. I do not understand this infatuation with a man who has been indicted for corruption and is a known war criminal. He's got more blood on his hands than I think almost, you know, than anybody could possibly even imagine. He is anti-Arab, anti-Muslim, anti-Christian for that matter, if the Christians are Palestinians, of course. And and I do not understand the infatuation with this man. What is it that they find in him? Why do they allow him to spew these ridiculous, ridiculous lies? I mean, anyone with a little bit of common sense can refute all of those ridiculous arguments that he just made about the land being barren and empty and the Jews holding it for all these. This is complete nonsense. This is a historical nonsense. And the problem is not that Netanyahu is spewing these arguments because, you know, he's the one that, you know, he's the criminal. But why are they allowing him? Why is Jordan Peterson allowing him? Why is Bill Maher allowing him? Why are the networks allowing this criminal and they don't even challenge him? Fine, you're going to interview a guy like that, challenge him. Challenge him on the truth. Challenge him about his corruption charges. He was indicted. Challenge him about the fact that he, for more than a decade, he was governing, he was prime minister of Israel when horrific war crimes and abuses of human rights against the Palestinians were taking place. That is the problem. The problem is the people interviewing him, not challenging him and allowing him or giving him a platform to continue with these lies, knowing fully well that he's lying. There's no way anybody doesn't know that he's lying. I mean, I can't imagine anybody being that ignorant or that stupid for that matter. So this is the problem. The Americans have this infatuation with this man, and they're allowing him, they're giving him a platform. He's not even the prime minister yet. He hasn't been sworn in yet. He was elected, but he hasn't been sworn in yet. So this is what I believe is the issue here.
So you said anyone with a little bit of common sense, if you look at his track record, somebody who was indicted, who's known to lie, and now he's kind of making up his own history here. Someone with some common sense can go and do some research, and they can themselves unfold all of these. How many lies do we have here?
Well, it's impossible to count. I mean, we could spend days, you know, hours and hours refuting every single lie. It's all based on lie. The entire premise that somehow Jewish people have a right, some kind of a right to Palestine first of all, is absurd. But historically, you know, to say that there was nothing in Palestine for 2,000 years, Palestinians have built cities and towns and an economy and a culture, and agriculture, all of this time. I mean, your Muslim listeners, they know of Al-Aqsa. Al-Aqsa was built about 1,500 years ago. Who built it? Who cared for it? Who's maintained it? This magnificent, magnificent structure. And if anybody has not been to Jerusalem and seen it, I strongly encourage people to fly there and see it and to pray there. You know, it's a magnificent structure. Who built it? Who built the cities of Tabaria, of Yaffa, of Haifa? Who built these cities?
He mentioned there was one city, I think, in the interview, one city. So that right there, this is for Jordan Peterson. I'm sure he'll watch this, God willing, he'll watch this. And now he's got to look at the facts. If he's any ounce of conscience, his soul is awake, you know, if he's a person, a principle of some integrity, we're giving facts. So you can go look it up. So this is the person that he decided to bring on. He didn't challenge him. And now you're giving these facts. This is academically, people can go look this up now. So yeah. He mentioned something about I believe it was like one city. You're naming a bunch of cities here that were developed, were there farmers, there were ports. Please explain this to us.
We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. We went to the streets to ask Americans about Islam. Here's what they said. Do you know anything about Islam?
No.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sadly.
Do you know anything about Islam?
Not really.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sorry.
You know what Islam means?
Islam? No. We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
That's what you've been told, that Muslims are out to kill you all?
Well, that's what they say on TV.
Anything.
I know it's in the Middle East, isn't it?
Well, that you can have four wives.
Brothers and sisters, as you can see, there are so many Americans
who don't know about Islam. We need your help to change that. Help us to build the Deen Center, the first mega Dawah center in America. Click to donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
Palestine, you know, there's a claim that the Zionists came, or the Jews came and made the desert bloom in Palestine. They stole a country that was in full bloom. They stole entire cities. They stole produce from the fields. Palestinians were exporting cotton. They were exporting olive oil. They were exporting barley from the Nakba in the desert. Well, you know, it's a very, you know, the desert in the south. I mean, Palestine was a thriving economy. The cities of Yafa, Lid, Ramle, Bir Sabah, Tabaria, Haifa, all of these cities were already in existence, and most of them were actually built by Palestinians during the Muslim time. Some were built even before that. The city of Gaza, you know, has been inhabited for thousands of years. These were cultural, there was cultural centers, universities, schools, hospitals, homes, like I said, an industry, an agriculture. They came and they stole a country that was blooming, and then they had the audacity to say they made the desert bloom. That is complete nonsense. If there's any legacy to what the Israelis did to Palestine, is destruction. And again, Jordan Peterson, by the way, visited Palestine recently, and he went on a tour in Al-Aqsa, but with his Jewish settlers, with Zionist settlers. He took a tour of Al-Aqsa, desecrating Al-Aqsa with these violent racist liars. He did that with Ben Shapiro, you know, and they were hosted by these settlers who want to see, by the way, Al-Aqsa burn, but that's a whole other story. And to build some kind of a hoax, I don't know, some kind of a temple that they, you know. But I mean, this is terrible. He also had the Israeli ambassador, former Israeli ambassador, on Dermer there before on his show. This constant desire to promote these lies is the problem. And Americans' willingness to listen to them and accept them and not challenge these people, that is, I think, a very serious problem.
If you want to be fair and balanced, how difficult or not so difficult would it be for Jordan Peterson to take another trip and to go just cross over? How many minutes of how long is the journey for him to go and speak to the people on the ground and to get the other side?
He was there. Palestinians are everywhere. All he had to do was go with the, you know.
So he's there. To go into someone's house, to sit with the locals, to sit with some of the people there, be it Christian Palestinians, Muslim Palestinians, people on the ground. How hard would that be?
It's not hard at all.
I mean,
it's the easiest thing in the world. There's nothing hard about it. There's nothing.
Did he do that on that trip?
No.
No.
Okay. I mean, the fact that he was willing to go on Al-Aqsa with settlers, with Zionist settlers, whose objective is very clearly stated. And by the way, these settlers are now going to be in the next Israeli government, which is extremely dangerous, because these people want to see Al-Aqsa destroyed. They want to see the Dome of the Rock destroyed, and they want to build something else there instead, based on some, you know, ancient mythology. The point is that it is extremely dangerous that these people are being given, that Netanyahu is being given a platform where millions of people are watching this, and for some reason nobody challenges his lies. Nobody challenges this mythical narrative.
Accept an invitation from Jordan Peterson. We opened up the show, and we are going to have people out there who are watching this to petition, to go ahead and be a voice, to go ahead and push this, to get this to Jordan Peterson, to bring on. Why wouldn't he bring someone who's one of the most qualified people to talk about this? Someone who's an Israeli, an American, who has such a profound history in that area. Would you be willing to accept the invitation to go on Jordan Peterson's show?
Yes, of course I would. The question is, what are his motivations? If his motivation is to show what you know, to tell the truth, then of course, you know, I'd be happy to be on the show. But my fear is that both he and all the others that I mentioned that have been interviewing Netanyahu are not interested in the truth. They're interested in promoting this narrative of lies for all kinds of reasons. That is the problem. Of course, I'd be happy to come on these shows and describe, or there are plenty of Palestinians, you know, as well that he could invite and would describe and very clearly show that what Netanyahu is saying is all lies. It's complete fabrication. Palestine was a thriving country, and they stole it and they destroyed it and they kicked out and continue to kick out the population.
Here are a few other things that were brought up, that Arabs actually migrated and then became Palestinians.
Well, everybody at one point migrated from one place to another and became something. So it's not like, you know.
It's in the essence that Palestine didn't exist until recently, that Palestine did not exist. The Arabs came, then Palestine.
Okay, well, here's what I suggest, okay? There's an excellent book by a historian, Nur Masalha, called Palestine, a 4,000-year history. It's all there. He showed very clearly that the ancient Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Greeks, and on and on and on, every great empire that ever ruled that area referred to that country by the name of Palestine, or some versions of the name Palestine.
And this is an historian who's academic.
Yeah, this is history. He shows Aristotle. Aristotle called it Palestine. He shows Herodotus called it Palestine. He shows the Egyptians who called it Palestine. His name is Nur Masalha. And the book is called Palestine, a 4,000-year history. You know, and the thing is, the problem is that often when people talk about the history of Palestine, they go back 75 years. They go back 100 years. Go back 4,000 years, like this, like Nur Masalha. It's a very courageous
4,000 years.
Yeah. And he shows very clearly that Palestine was referred to by that name going back almost 4,000 years by all the different empires. It was, and he shows, you know, of course, empires come and go and populations migrate. That happens everywhere. That happened in Europe. It's like saying, well, the French are not French, or I don't know who is. That's not the point. The point is that Palestine and Palestinians were in existence, were thriving, they were building everywhere from the south in Gaza and the Bedouin in the southern part of the country, the Naqab, all the way to the north, to the Galilee. Of course, Jerusalem, the reports, Acre, the port of Acre has been a well-known port going back throughout history. And this had nothing to do with Jews. It had to do with local Palestinian population. There were Jews, there were Christians, there were Armenians, but for the bulk of the last 1600 years, Palestine has been an Arab Muslim country, and it was thriving. This whole notion that there was nothing there is a complete fabrication. And not only it's a fabrication, in 1948, when the Zionists conquered Palestine, they stole it. They stole, like I said, the produce from the fields. They stole money in the banks. There were banks. People had money in the banks. People were working. There was an economy. They stole millions of dollars worth of money. They stole cars. They stole buildings, hospitals, entire cities. Can you imagine? They come in, they kick out the people, and there are cities. Yaffa, Haifa, like I said, all these cities that I mentioned earlier. Not to mention, these cities, some of these cities go back, as far back in history as we can even look up. But it's very clear that this is a complete fabrication in order to justify the crime of theft and killing. And this they do supposedly in the name of Jewish people.
Tell me, is it when you look into the migration that happened with many of the PMs there, like Netanyahu, was originally his grandfather's name Milinowski, and many of the other PMs, they changed their names. They migrated from places like Poland, from Russia, from other places.
All of our grandparents immigrated. Netanyahu is a little bit older than I am. His parents migrated. My grandparents immigrated throughout the last 100 years. That's when the Zionists came to Palestine.
And did they have different last names?
Oh yeah, they are. Yes, many of the people changed their names. My father too. I mean, many of the Jews that came to Palestine, part of their narrative was to change their name from kind of Jewish European, perhaps, or even Jewish Arab sounding names, to this new thing, which is an Israeli name, which sounds different, you know. And so they call it Hebraizing the name. They do it to cities. They do it to streets. They did the entire country. They took Palestine and they renamed it Israel. And so they took their own names, sometimes Jewish names that have a very long and interesting history back in Europe where they came from, that goes back a very long time. And they changed it, completely disconnecting themselves from their own Jewish history, by the way.
You see, it's very, very interesting because when you talked you've talked to a lot of people on the ground there, the Palestinians, you don't see much migration just happening maybe from one village to another city in that area. But, people are great grandfathers, their lineage is all linked back to Palestine.
Let me tell you a story. I was born and raised in Jerusalem. My grandparents, came as colonizers in the 1920s. And so I am you know, I'm a dual citizen. I have an Israeli citizenship, and I can go. And I've been gone for a long time, but I can go back and live there tomorrow if I wanted to. I have Palestinian friends whose families in Jerusalem go back 800 years, go back to the days of Salah ad-Din sometimes, sometimes even before that. It's constantly the same family in the same part of the city going back that far back. If they leave, now they do not have citizenship. They have an alien residence, kind of something similar to an alien resident, like a green card. They're not even citizens. And if they leave for more than a couple of years, they can't come back and their property is taken. Their families have been there, imagine 800 years in Jerusalem or back to the days of Salah ad-Din in Jerusalem. And they do not have the same rights as I do. You know, like I said, my parents came to colonize less than 100 years ago or 100 years ago. So, I mean, that is how deep the racism is there. And the problem is that they need to justify it. And the only way to justify it is to make these absurd claims that somehow this was ours and we came back. Like we personally were there 2,000 years ago and now we are back. We have some kind of a claim. You know, it's historically absurd. It's morally wrong. But it's politically, you know, that's how they push forward with their agenda, which is a political agenda.
And then you have the squatter argument, and it has me thinking, like, if you can imagine somewhere like Texas, where someone might own thousands of acres, and they just use up maybe 1 acre to have, you know, a couple acres to maybe have their house and, you know, some other things, but they leave the rest of it. It's out there. So someone comes into the person's backyard of thousands of acres. And now, because when Jordan Peterson opened up, he was like trying to cite some kind of English or law or something of that essence and saying, if you're not doing anything with the land, then you lose the land. And that's how the picture was painted, you know. So then I started thinking about this. I mean, nobody would accept that you have all this acreage, you have all of this, you know, things are developing, but maybe you might be not using everything, but just because it's in your backyard. And now imagine if someone did that to you and came in and started to, you know, build on it. You didn't use that part of the land, and now they have a justification to take the rest. It does. The squatter. You heard
it. What's even more absurd is the claim that somehow the land belongs to the Jews. It's an absurd claim. It's an absurd claim. It's an absolutely absurd. Even according to Jewish law. And you've had some of our ultra-Orthodox rabbi friends, Rabbi Weiss, I know you've had on the show. He will tell you, Jewish law prohibits Jews from sovereignty, from claiming the Holy Land. This is a complete nonsense. Just because there are these stories, and there was the existence of a Jewish minority of Jewish people who did live in Palestine for a long time ago as a small minority. You know, as a small minority who lived there, this ridiculous claim that somehow this belonged to the Jews and the Jews were kicked out and the Jews come back is completely false. It has absolutely no bearing. Legally, it has no bearing. Historically, it's hocus pocus. It's talking about Santa Claus. You know, it's just as crazy as talking about as though Santa Claus was real or something.
Wow, that's very, very interesting. Jordan Peterson, he's an academic. I mean, it's somebody who's intelligent. It doesn't take a lot of research for Jordan Peterson to look this up or his audience. But it's a shame that many people will see this and now they won't research and they'll take this myth and all this falsehood. And many people will run with it, but sincere people will go ahead and look this up, and hopefully they'll have you on the program. Tell me this, were Jews and Christians, because another claim you made was that the people who conquered this land before, he mentioned Byzantinians, the Romans, he mentioned people who conquered it, didn't kick the Jewish people out, but the Muslims came, kicked the people, kicked the Jews out. And
that's absolutely false.
I had the Rabbi Weiss you mentioned, he also said that Muslims and Jews are living in peace. They were living there. Peacefully.
Not only is it false, but when Salah ad-Din conquered Jerusalem, he allowed the Jews to continue and pray in places that the Christians did not allow them.
Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi, yes.
Salah ad-Din and the Muslims that when they came to Palestine, they gave the Jews more rights and the Jews with more respect than the Crusaders did. Of course, you know, I mean, this has nothing to do. You know, trying to use that as some kind of a link to giving the right to Israel to exist and maintain this brutality against the Palestinians, even if it was all true, it still wouldn't justify what Israel is doing to the Palestinians. This complete and total theft and killing of people on a wholesale basis. You know, even if all this was true, and it's not true, but even if it was true, it still would not justify any of what Israel claims to be, you know, to be their right. You know, it's a terrible tragedy. And again, trying to link it back to the Bible and trying to link it back to, you know, ancient history is completely false.
We'll see on your Twitter feed, you have some posts and you see many of these Orthodox Jews walking the streets.
That's right.
And they're actually holding Palestinian flags. This is interesting.
You know, there's a famous rabbi who lived in Jerusalem. He was one of the anti-Zionist rabbis, like Rabbi Weiss that you interviewed. And he was interviewed by a student of his. And the student said to him, if you were in charge today, what would be the first thing that you would do? And this rabbi said, the first thing I would do is I would ask the Palestinians to come back. And the student says, why? What are you talking about? They're terrorists. They want to kill us. And the rabbi, his name is Rabbi Amram Blau. And the rabbi said, who told you that? Who told you that the Arabs were going to kill us? We had great relations with the Muslims and the Arabs back in the day. You know, his family lived in Hebron and his half family lived in Jerusalem that always had, you know, Jewish minorities. He said, we had great relations. We shared the same values. We shared a similar culture. You know, we all treat each other with respect. It was only when the Zionists came at the beginning of the 20th century that the terrorism began, that the violence began, and it was initiated not by the Palestinians, not by the Arabs and the Muslims, but by the Zionists.
Wow. Who was this man again?
This was a famous rabbi who lived in Jerusalem. He passed away already. His name was Rabbi Amram. And
the rabbi.
Yeah, very well known.
Very well known rabbi. There were so many. There was conferences in New York, and you see these videos with thousands and thousands of Orthodox Jews.
Educational lesson, lectures given by experts in Judaism about Judaism, in particular, the incompatibility between Judaism and Zionism. Many Jews believe wrongly that Zionism is either part of Judaism or is compatible with Judaism or is even the main part of Judaism. All of those are actually false. Zionism was created to negate Judaism. Zionism was created to replace Judaism. The differences between Zionism and Judaism are vast. They're vast and profound. The propaganda that the Zionists have churned out for the past 100 years have confused and conflated Zionism and Judaism such that when the average person walks down the street, he thinks that the state of Israel is the Jewish state, he thinks that Zionism is Judaism, and he doesn't know the difference. This group of Jews here are students of the late Satmar Rabbi, Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, who was the greatest disseminator of the clarity regarding the difference between Judaism and Zionism.
And you would think that the media would report on this, but they don't. Not at all. There's before we conclude, just a couple more points. People can go look this up on your Twitter handle. You have a Twitter here that it talks about the Israeli media lie. This is a quote. The Israeli media lies and Israelis want to be lied to. This is an interesting thing. The consumers, the readers, and the viewers don't want to hear and don't want to know. But Gledon Levy has been telling the truth for decades. This is another Israeli.
Gideon Levy is a very well-known Israeli journalist.
He's a journalist, Israeli now.
I interviewed him on my podcast, and you know, he's a very interesting man. He's a great journalist, and he's been reporting. He's one of maybe two reporters, Israeli reporters, who actually report truthfully.
Israelis really believe that the IDF is the most moral army in the world. The Israeli media is playing this shameful role of collaborating with the occupation. The government, the army, the secret services don't want you to tell. And the consumers, the readers and the viewers don't want to hear and don't want to know. One day someone will ask, what happened here? How come that this society is living in this denial? I try to whistle in the darkness, but I don't think it has any influence. On the contrary, you see that everything goes to the opposite direction.
So what's the point? I remember I asked my father the same question one day. He said, well, I don't want them to be able to say that they didn't know.
Yeah.
They cannot say they didn't know.
In the Israeli media. But Israelis are not interested. I'll give you another example. You know, there's a movie that just came out. It's on Netflix called Farha. It's a movie about Palestine.
Farha.
Farha, yeah, it just came out. The Israelis are going nuts about it because it's telling a story, a true story, based on a true story, about a girl and her experience of what happened to her in her village in 1948. It's a very difficult movie to watch. It's an excellent movie, excellent movie. The director.
You recommend Jordan Peterson watch this movie?
I doubt that he watched it, and I don't know if you.
No, you recommend he watches, and others who want
to. You have to watch.
People like watching movies, Netflix.
It's a very good movie. The Israelis, like I said, want to boycott it. They want to boycott Netflix, whatever. It's an important movie, but Israelis are going crazy about the fact that this one movie, is a true story of a young lady and how what she experienced in 1948. Now she's a refugee living, you know, outside of Palestine, sadly. And so they do not want to see the truth. They do not want to hear the truth. And this is what Gideon Levy said to me when I interviewed him. He said, they do not want the truth. And I go back there a lot when I listen to the Israeli news channels, you know, on TV. It's all, nobody's challenging the narrative. There's no voice of dissent. Everybody's agreeing. Everybody wants to see more Palestinians die. Everybody wants to see more Palestinian land taken. It's really tragic. And it's tragic that people like Jordan Peterson give a platform to a criminal like Benjamin Netanyahu. That should really be the bottom line.
All right, we're out of time. Tell me last closing comments for the person who's out there, who's confused. They want to know. They watched that interview. They're watching this. They want to know more. What else? We've uncovered many of the lies. And if someone builds their case on a lie, you know, the history of him being indicted, and you have so many, he was charged, and you got so much baggage, you know, here, you know, of lies and lies built, and then here a whole history of lies. It's not history, it's his history. And you dismantle many of these arguments. And now for someone out there, what advice do you have for the average American? You said with their infatuation with this person, yeah, they're bringing them on all these shows. What do you have to say to them before we give the final message to Jordan Peterson?
Well, Americans give $3.8 billion to Israel for absolutely no good reason. It's the biggest foreign aid package any country gets. And Americans need to know what is being done with their money and why it's being sent. They need to be educated. So, you know, there's your show. They can go on micopella.com. There's articles and interviews and videos. They can, you know, they can sign on to my podcast. There's lots of stuff. There's lots of books. They should definitely, if they're interested in history, the book I mentioned, Palestine, A 4,000-Year History, is an excellent history book. You know, there's so much material out there that it's actually very easy to educate yourself today. And then talk to Palestinians. And I encourage everybody to visit Palestine.
Take a trip, visit Palestine.
Yeah.
And Jordan Peterson, what would you say to him?
I would say to him that it's time to stop giving a platform to war criminals and liars. If he wants to, you know, when Palestine is free, people like him are going to be ashamed that they did this. He's going to be embarrassed that he did this. And so right now he has an opportunity to remedy that. He can interview me. He can interview, you know, a whole host of people, excellent people that are out there that will tell it the way it is. And that's what he needs to do. And not only will he redeem his own reputation, you know, because right now I believe that this, his issue, his take on Palestine is ruining his reputation. But not only that, he will actually contribute to the truth being told, and he will contribute to the freedom and liberation of Palestine.
Thank you very much, Migo Pilla. I know you are very busy. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. God bless you.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. And thank you guys for tuning in. That was Miko Pilled. You can go ahead and read his book, The General's Son. And why? I mean, if it was a Palestinian or maybe a Muslim, and Jordan Peterson, who's had Muslims on the program, and we commend you for that. But now you have a chance to redeem yourself. You're getting the message here from an Israeli whose grandfather was one of the original signers on this piece of paper here for the creation of this state. And then you had his father was a general in the Israeli army. He's put everything on the line. You have so many people. And usually there'll be few of those people, because most of the people, they want to be led, and they're being led by liars like this. That now academically, you're an academic, Jordan Peterson. You can go ahead and read this book probably very quickly that he had shared with us, The 4,000-Year History of Palestine. And you can bring on people like Miko Pilled. So I need you guys out there to go ahead, so he's got no excuse, and recommend that Jordan Peterson brings on this man, Mikko Pilit, on his show to go ahead and do the right for the wrong that he just did. Advertising, as he said, Mikko, people have an infatuation with this person who's done so many horrific crimes against humanity, innocent children. So it's up to you now, Mikko. I mean, sorry, it's up to you. Miko's ready. It's up to you, Jordan Peterson, and up to you guys. Go ahead. If you're Palestinian, if you're a seeker of truth, you're an American and you want the truth out there, send this to Jordan Peterson right now and petition and be a voice for him to get Mikko Pilit on his program to talk about this, on what's really going on in this part of the world. There's so much history there. And inshallah, we can do our small part. We'll see you next time. Until then, subscribe if you haven't already so you can get all of the latest shows sent to you. And we'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Dean Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.